You have your Bibles open to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'll be reading from verse 60 to 69. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed him not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, I've had many challenges in my life where I felt as if I was always a step behind the rest. And one of the things that irritates me is when others seem to catch on to something and I just can't get it. But I love to talk about the Bible. I like to learn from others and to share that with different people. I personally find it exciting. For me, God's word is joy. But there are times when I read a passage and I think to myself, what does that mean? When I come across those passages, oftentimes I will go to different commentaries. And sometimes I find out that they don't seem to really know any more than I do. That they're commentary on that particular verse of scripture is lacking, and I still can't get it. The context of what we read begins actually with Jesus feeding the 5,000. It was a tremendous miracle to behold. It was such a miracle that the people of Galilee believed that Jesus was the prophet. And the following day, the crowd that was fed, they went across the Sea of Capernaum, and there they found Jesus. They didn't know how he got there. In verse 25, it tells us, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? In other words, when did you get here? And we see in verses 26 and 27 that Jesus chastised them. And he told them that what they really wanted was free food. This is the key to the passage. After this rebuke, in verse 28, they asked him, he said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus, in a nutshell, told him to believe on him whom God had sent. But these people wanted a sign in order for them to believe. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody was standing out front here with 5,000 people and took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes and fed them and still had left over, I would think that was a pretty strong miracle, wouldn't you? And it's not just 5,000 men, it was their wives and kids with them. So there was a lot more than that. I don't know how much more proof someone would need. They wanted something like manna from heaven. Now let's look in verses 32 through 35. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven, and given life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, they also have seen me and believe not. Jesus is getting ready to push this lesson a lot further. And he's going to push it far beyond their level of comprehension. He takes them to the point of confusion. Verses 48 through 59. I am that bread of life. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall have life evermore. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Therefore the Jews strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall have no life in you. But whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which comes down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. This is not the Lord's Supper. We do not get eternal life by taking the Lord's Supper every week. Yes, Jesus was speaking of himself, and yes, we partake of his body and the blood, but this is about Jesus and the gift of his life for us. This is about the redemption that is found on the cross. That unless we take in Jesus, unless he becomes what we hunger and thirst for, we will continue to grasp at straws spiritually. And it will become just an academic game that we play each and every Sunday. Jesus wants us to want him more than we want anything else. 2,000 years of insight and knowing the rest of the gospel account, we can understand better what Jesus was talking about. But I brought us to this point, not to teach us John 6, but to help us to see what to do when we don't know the answer. The reaction of these people, we found it and read it in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. How do we, as people, as human beings, how do we deal with questions when it seems as if God is not giving us any answers? Sometimes we phrase a question in such a way as to get the answer that we desire. Sometimes a person that's asking the question is not looking for an answer. Sometimes they are looking for an argument or even a way to trap you. Jesus dealt with those types of questions many times. But the answer that these people had in their mind was the wrong answer to their own question. Jesus was not telling them to become cannibalistic. the fact that Jesus did not explain to them what he meant by whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life made it worse. He could have said, what I mean is that you must believe in me and accept me as the real manna from heaven, the one who comes to give eternal life. This is about faith and not transformation. This is about me being your all in all. He could have said that, but he didn't. Is it because he didn't answer the question in a way that satisfied him that they all began to leave? When you read about it, all these people were listed as his disciples. They were followers. And Jesus just let them walk away. There are many barriers and reasons people become offended by God and at God. What they do with that barrier is a real test of their spirituality. I think you will all agree with me. It is not easy to follow God. And I think we shouldn't pretend that it is. The way of God is hard, because the way of God conflicts with our human mind and our human sensibilities and our sense of right and wrong. The human mind is so swayed by society and societal norms, and they change all the time. 40 years ago, I had bell bottoms. You would not catch me in them things anymore. Ever, even on Halloween. We change and we start looking and accepting certain norms that 40 years ago would be unheard of. God gives us a law of the heart that is so much deeper than just a law of our outward actions. We often face the wall of life and we don't know how to scale it. And sometimes the trials that we face are much bigger than we are. Sometimes we feel like the temptations are stronger than us. But what do you do when you don't know the answer? You have choices. You can run away. That's what this crowd did. They ran away. The majority of people on this earth run away. Or you can stand there and do nothing. Have you ever said something to your child? You told them to go do something and they stand there and look at you with a blank stare in your face and did nothing? Or you can run to the one that has the answers. What happens next is life-changing. John 6, verses 67 through 69. Then he said unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, where shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure. Now those two words together makes a pretty definitive statement. We believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. How many of your friends, how many of your family can say that with all surety? We believe and are sure. You asked a majority of people today in the religious world, are you going to heaven? And what's their response? I hope so. I hope so. Well, I don't hope so. I know so. Because of who died for me. I know so. And each of us should say those very same things. We know we are going to heaven. And if we have those little doubts, we better figure out where those little doubts come from and correct them. For me, faith believes in what I cannot understand. To whom shall we go? That's the question. And Peter gives the only answer, the only good answer that you can give. You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you understand his statement? He's saying, Lord, when I don't know where to turn, I turn to you because I believe in you. I don't believe in my own knowledge and understanding. I believe that you and you alone have the answer. And I know you, Lord, are the best answer. We all too often try to turn to our own knowledge and understanding of a lot of things. And oftentimes, our knowledge and understanding is based on someone else's knowledge and understanding. And depending on what that person means to us, means that we take it for granted that it's true. I grew up in the Methodist Church, I know. I took everything that I was taught as truth. I relied on my own knowledge and understanding in a lot of things in life. And some wonderful people taught me different. And made me realize I can't rely on my knowledge and understanding. There was a man by the name of Karl Barth. He was a Swiss theologian. He did an awful lot of different writings. When he talked about faith, he said, faith grips reason by the throat and strangles the beast. Faith grips reason by the throat and strangles the beast. You know, this morning I talked about trying to think like God thinks. This is a big part of it. Because oftentimes we don't think like God thinks, and our faith needs to strangle that beast, our own thoughts and our own reasons. You know, we might say, why didn't Jesus go after these people? Why didn't he just tell them what he meant by it? Why did he just leave them go? Well, they weren't true followers anyway. They were there kind of like the Ringling Brothers coming into town. It was a big show. There was a lot of things happening. A lot of people Jesus healed and made better. And all they wanted was the benefits of someone else. Whether it was to fill their stomachs or to get rid of their illness. Is that us? Are we like that too? Because we don't have an answer, we kind of revert back to our old selves in certain ways. You know, sometimes my greatest reason and understanding is so absolutely wrong that I'm forced to admit that I just don't know what I thought I knew. When I think when we all struggle to understand, that we come back to faith and simply believe in God. We can call it trite. You can call it naive if you want. You can call it anything. But I know that when I don't know, I trust in the one who knows it all. And that's good enough for me. And I hope it's good enough for you. I don't know where you stand this evening in relationship to God. You know, oftentimes we live a life and certain things just go by and by. But without the blood of Christ, the prayer that Paul led before services would be for naught. Without the prayers that we give to God each and every day, if it wasn't for the blood of Christ and us partaking in that sacrifice and obeying the gospel, our prayers would mean absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But because we have the ability to be continually washed in the blood, that means that we can go to God with our issues and our problems and our faults and ask for forgiveness through prayer. And God forgives those. Pretty much everyone here tonight is believers and have believed the gospel. So I asked, if there is anyone here this evening who needs to make things right with God, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. Don't let a day go past. And let this opportunity go past you without making things right with God. And we can do that through prayer. And if you need to make things right with God, we'll pray together and ask Him to forgive. And God is faithful in His forgiveness. If there's anyone here this evening who has a need, regardless of what it is, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.